Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hlanganyela nathi ukuguqula izimpilo zabantu ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
657 AM Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. And of course, I should say, I believe you are well. Thank you so much to Johan Els. And he's coming back tomorrow morning to take you through. And of course, thank you for the joyride. Thank you for something else. Thank you for Spectrum continuously a blessing to us each and every time. What a pleasure to listen to and an honor to take over from you. Right, it is Wednesday Live, and we are going to be talking to Muruti Karabo Mraka and then also Pastor Samuel Kabamba, and we will be touching on issues that needs us to talk, man. And as the Holy Spirit guides, let us talk even more and effect a change in our lives, in our time, in our generation. In the times that we are at, we need to be able to call his name. This one used to be with a group called Shalama. And Howard Hewitt has shown his true colors over the years, that he is truly a child of the Most High. And we should call his name together with him.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, is blessing you so much in a mighty way. Our guests are already on the line. Let me start with Muruti Mraka. Greetings to you, Muruti. I trust you are well, sir.
Greetings, my brother. I'm definitely well under the grace, mercy, and in the peace of our Lord and our Savior, Yeshua Mashiach. Greetings to you. Greetings to Muruti Kabamba, as well as the wonderful listeners of Radio Pulpit in that glorious name, which Yudebabe is protecting us in.
Thank you so much, Muruti. Thank you so much. And Pastor Sam is on the line also, Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome.
Yeah, greetings to you too, and thank you very much for having us again tonight. We are so blessed. And I want to greet Muruti Mraka and say a big thank you to Radio Pulpit, and greet everyone who shall be with us, and just let have a wonderful time in the presence of the Almighty Father.
I trust you're well, though.
Yes, actually we are fine.
No, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. We're talking about the violence of today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. And when we got into the topics, we didn't know that, you know, violence would be a headline in the news as much as we do today. And so we didn't come up with a topic today. The topic was given us on 7 days ago, on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that we look into the violence of today, the strivings of today, what these are even all about, the strivings of today, the violence of today, the contentions and bitter conflicts of today. That is what we are talking about. We trust the Father will do you good in a mighty way. And there is so much strife, contentions in almost every aspect. I saw a litigation between banks and clients, where banks want to acquire a right to say, look, we can freeze and take the accounts of clients if they don't do 1, 2, 3. And clients are saying, but you did not advise us to open accounts with you in that light, so you can't. And then I have seen a little boy who was striking his teacher with a fist. And another little boy who was doing sexual advances to his own teacher. Today. And then I also saw a policeman being gunned down in KwaZulu-Natal last night, this morning, I think. And I saw also people dying, let alone the soldiers we were talking about yesterday. And I have seen also in the summer, the beginning of the summer rains, where a whole family was wiped out. A whole family was shot down, wiped out. And I am asking as to what should be the stance of the church in the light of the violence of today. We all know what is violence. I saw a guy who made a selfie on Facebook murdering his own girlfriend. Live. He went live with a lifeless body of someone's daughter. And I saw people campaigning against violence against a particular gender and stuff. And in that period, I've seen women being killed like never before. There's so much bitter contentions and violence that is taking place. I saw, and all of us have seen that, a parent that pretended as if their kid is lost has been stolen, and the whole city searches for the kids together with them, only to find that they trafficked the kid. But massive traffickings that are taking place. I saw a woman who had posted a video here in Menlyn. There's a mall here, call it Menlyn, Maine. It's a very big mall. And this man was following her, and she was making a video and saying, "This man has been following me ever since I entered this complex. Could this be a trafficker?" There's so much violence today. So much violence. I've seen a boy who hit, and this one, some people were not happy with me when I said it. I saw a boy who hit his grandmother with a hot clap, and the grandmother fell down. I've seen that. It happens in our country. A young boy, a teenager. I've seen that. I've seen a boy who beats his own father to a pulp, and even wanting to stab him with a knife. But I've also seen in the streets quite worse than that. But I'm talking about today. What should be our stance as the church? What should be our stance as the church? Have we gone to a silent mode where we say, anyway, this has to happen to fulfill the times? Like I said, I heard someone saying, so our soldiers must fight. And I said, wait until your son is conscripted and they come back in a box. I don't think the parent, you don't even have a son that is that age. I don't think parents who have lost their children are talking like you on social media. And much of the times, we see these things and we turn a blind eye. In my life, I've seen a dead person and people were getting into a taxi next to a dead body. It had become so normalized. We seem to be at a state of the hegemony of a naturalization of death. I once said to Matlakala, I understand what you are saying when you say in Sepedi, lehukeng wejia motse ka motse. And I said, but that is not written in the word. You can't say death is the bride of every family. That's a curse. How is this a gospel song? She was very crossed with me. She liked me very much, but she was crossed. So we see these violences of today. We see these strives of today. We see these violations of today. People are dealing with one another in the most violent of ways. Bitter conflicts are taking place. Shouldn't the church be like Abraham speaking to Lot? Please, let there be no strife between you and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Genesis 13, verses 8. Shouldn't we be able to say, just like in Exodus chapter 2, verses 13, and when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? We are brothers. We are family. In Leviticus 24, verses 10, now the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Yasharal, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And these cousins, and these brethren. We have drawn demarcations that actually make us to provoke violence amongst each other. And in Proverbs 17, verses 14, this is the kind of generation and time and spirit we are releasing if we allow violence to become the order of the day. It says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contentions before a quarrel starts. There's a lot that is happening. We see even court cases amongst us as believers. But the word in Proverbs 25, verses 8, do not go hastily to court. Do not go hastily to court, it says. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? What will you do? Muruti Brak, I think the questions that I yearn for in this time and age would be, what will you do with my loving? You know, what will my neighbor do with the manner in which I love them? What am I going to do with the manner in which my neighbor loves me? It should be the talk, naturalized. But it has become something else. And today, violence is perpetuated even by those who meddle in people's affairs. And check it out. We seem to be a nation like that. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Proverbs 26, 17. In times of strife, in times where there is so much contentions and bitter conflicts. Doesn't the word say, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than himself? Philippians 2 verses 3. Why aren't we those kinds of people? What is the stance of the church? What is the stance of the church? When we come back, we get on with it.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So, join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Get in touch with the truth, the light, and the life. 657 AM.
The violence of today, we are talking about that. The violence has taken many faces today. And to a great extent has wreaked havoc amongst many of us, including myself. It has wreaked havoc. There's violence everywhere, in the streets, everywhere there's violence. There's violence everywhere. And what should be our stance? I'm not saying let us be afraid. I know the word says fear not. What should be our stance? Moruti Muraka, what comes to mind, sir?
Thank you, my brother. You know, I need to acknowledge that before I sat down and prayerfully, even seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit to prepare for this topic, I had not realized how serious this topic is. I believe it's one of the most serious. And in answer to the question right at the start, is there is a need in the church to understand the nature of violence. And to understand, you'd have a fair stance against violence.
Yes.
Then we can be humble enough to not start even the root of going into the violence root. Not only that, if we find ourselves being so careful not to walk the path of violence, we should also be those that intercede on behalf of others where it pertains to violence. Having said that, we can't talk violence except we start with violence. Is actually, when I looked at the scriptures, violence actually is almost like the last state of sin, of the outcomes of sin. And when violence is prevalent, then every time you'd ever be would say, now is the time for judgment. In other words, we would, as a people or as a group or as an individual, be sinful and continue growing in our sinfulness to the point that we become violent. Mm. And then, when we are violent, there is no more mercy. It is the time of judgment. So I'm saying this because even as you have been pointing out, in society, the very examples of violence, it is speaking something concerning our nation. Mm. It is speaking something concerning other nations. Mm. Now, I'm going to start where the word of God starts with it. The first time in the Bible this word violence is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 9b, and then I'm going to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, to put violence in its context. Biblical context. Mm. It's just the mentioning of it. And 9b says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Mm. That's verse 10. Now, verse 11. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. The word violence is Hamas in Hebrew. Mm. I don't think it is a coincidence that in 2023, Hamas became topical. Mm. It was always there. It's always been there, it's been running Gaza and so forth. But it became topical when it did what it did as an organization. And I'm not talking those politics. I'm just saying, to me, I must put a disclaimer that what I am saying tonight, it is not Radio Pulpit doctrine or anything.
Yeah.
I take full responsibility for what I am saying tonight on this platform, that this is what the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes to see. And I'm saying concerning Hamas that I believe it was like a marker, a road marker, or a signpost, which is saying, hey, take care and note of violence and understand me in terms of how I deal with violence and how I regard violence. And I'm saying this is what I believe the Lord is calling attention to. At the beginning of this program, you said something that the topic was said last week, 7 days ago. And we all didn't know that today there would be these evidences, clear evidences, and even topics pertaining to violence today. Mm. And I don't think it's coincidental. I believe we are in a season where Yudhavave is saying, do not take violence lightly. Having said that, listen to what the scripture says in Genesis chapter 4, concerning the young men, Cain and Hevel, which normally say Abel. Genesis chapter 4, let's read from verse 6 to 10. Now it's Yudhavadi speaking to Cain. And Yudhavadi said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." The language is telling us, he's not talking about an act. He's talking about a being.
Yes.
That is crouching outside of Cain. And he is saying to Cain, where you have come to now, you are in danger of allowing sin to come inside of you. And then Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." That is his response. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Is that not violent? And then Yudhavadi said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And Yudhavadi said, "What have you done? Listen, listen. Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And then when we read the scriptures further, like I'm going to read Job chapter 19, verse 7. Job chapter 19, verse 7 says this. "Even when I cry out violence, I'm not answered. I call aloud, but there is no justice." Now, violence is no more just with one man, Cain. It's no more just with one generation, the generation of Noah. It has spread during the time of Job. And he is saying, even when I cry out, violence, violence, nobody responds to help. And then in Psalm 27, verse 12, this is what he said about it.
Are you still there?
"Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence." Now, even in Psalm 55, verse 10 and 11, Psalm 58, 1 to 2, we are getting the picture now that violence is something which quickly becomes prevalent in society. But I dare say, the first one who was violated is the Messiah. It was prophesied in Genesis chapter 49 from verse 5 to 7 concerning the Messiah. It was said in the blessing that was being spoken by Jacob over his son. He said, "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their sword. May I never come into their council. May I not be joined to their company. For in their anger they killed human beings, and at their whim they hamstrung oxen. And it was applied in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 to verse 68. And I'm going to try and read them quickly just to show that this which was said pertaining to the Messiah happened. Verse 57 to 68 of Matthew chapter 26. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, their high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no one? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living Elohim. Tell us all, are you the Messiah, the son of Elohim?" Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Mankind seated at the right hand of potency and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah, who is it that struck you?" My brother, I just want to stop there and say, they broke the law. Because Moshe had given them the law where it was said in Exodus chapter 23, verse 1, and even verse 7, do not be a false witness, do not be a violent witness, or a witness of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 16 and verse 18, and we read Psalm 27, verse 12, which talked about false witnesses who breathe violence.
Yeah.
They did this against the Messiah.
I hear you.
But how did he conquer? Through his blood.
Yes.
And I think we will continue to talk about that, because you see, the contrast is between Abel and the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Abel's blood did not conquer. It was just crying out and saying, "I have been done violent." But the Messiah's blood speaks something else. And if we belong to the Messiah, in the scriptures, we are told how to deal with violence. And we must deal with violence accordingly. The nation, which is not necessarily those that are in the Messiah, will continue to become worse and worse and worse.
Because
they don't hear the Messiah. But, like, and I agree with you 100%, we don't become powerless. We have to do what we have to do. Even though we know everything is going to go the way it has gone, because you saw what happened with others. We saw what happened with the generation of Noah.
Mm.
We have seen what has happened with Israel itself when prophets were raised. And every time God would say to them, when he is now saying, "I'm going to wipe you out," he would say, "Because of violence."
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, if you just thank you so much, Muruti. If you just joined us, we are talking about the violence of today and the many forms in which it manifests and what should be our stance as believers. I'm talking to Muruti Karabo Mraka and also Pastor Samuel Kabamba. We're talking about this. You can send us your WhatsApp 082-657-2729 and drop us a voice note and tell us some of the violence of today that you see and what you think our stance should be as believers.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
657 AM, streams of blessings.
All right, 657 Medium Wave, Radio Pulpit it is. We are talking about the violence of today. And we didn't know that things would be this way when we took the topic last week, that 7 days ago, that violence would be the headlines in the manner in which it is. Now, Pastor Sam, let me bring this to you, sir. And I've read so many verses with regards to this. But I think I need to read also the word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24. That says, because we all are servants of the Most High. It says, and a servant of the Elohim must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and be able to teach, to be patient. And this bitterness that comes through, according to James chapter 3, verses 14, is all out of self-seeking in the hearts of men. And people are lying against the truth. That is why we see the violence that we see. But the word is also telling us against a contentious spirit, a spirit of violence and civil strifes. And when you can look into Psalms 120, verses 7, it says, I am for peace. But when I speak, I am for peace. Are we for peace? What should be our stance be when we see so much violations amongst us? In schools, in politics, in commerce, social setting, cultural settings, marital settings, we see these. What say you, Sam?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. It's a very interesting topic, especially now as we see around us. We have too many issues. Not that they only start now. We've had these things happening all over the world. You see, I mean, people fighting wars around the world. And I heard Muruti Muraka mentioning the Hamas. You know, so it's so amazing to see when you talk about Hamas as everything to do with violence, and not only that, but Hamas as the underground. And today, amazingly, that Israel is fighting the Hamas. Where are they hiding? They're hiding underground. And when you take this, it speaks volume. It makes us understand that, as Solomon says, that there is nothing new on this planet Earth. Everything is old. I mean, it's the same thing that are repeating themselves. I mean, the same things over and over again. But today, as you come to speak about violence, why too many violence, and what is the what does the church supposed to do? You know, yesterday I was speaking to a gentleman who asked me a question. We were just talking, and then he mentioned the president of a certain country that I'm not going to be able to mention now. He said that this person, he mentioned the names of two people. He said these people are the ones that are going to usher Armageddon, or he's talking about, I mean, the event of the old, I mean, of the end time. And I looked at him, I said, you know what, I will differ with you on this, and I'll tell you why. And then we had a meeting, and after the meeting, I said, okay, let me talk to you about what you were talking about when we were in a meeting. Obviously, you just mentioned it, and I said, okay, it's not a good setup. It's not a great setup. We'll talk later. Then I tried to explain, say, you know what? The problem that we're having today is, especially us as Christians, we can be in a space of knowing or seeing what is happening around us, but we do not know what to do in the situation. I mean, there's a lack of understanding of event and situations, and a lack of knowing exactly what to do. When you go to the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32, it's talking about the children, I mean, the sons of Issachar. The Bible says that, I mean, there were 200 chiefs or 200 leaders, and with their relatives. And these sons of Issachar, they had the understanding of time, and they will know exactly what to do. And whatever something happened, or whatever they work with Israel, they were able to tell Israel exactly what to do in whatever situation. And Israel could not do anything without them giving kind of guidance. Now, today, it's like the world has gone berserk. The world has lost it. Like today, violence is really happening everywhere. In the church, in congregations, pastors are fighting against one another. Pastors, I mean, are poisoning one another, are betraying one another. We see things happening. Whatever we might talk about that happens in the world or in a society, in a community, is also taking place in our churches. We are so surprised to see how pastors will take one another to court to go and fight for whatever matter. While the Bible says that whenever you have an issue, you call the elders, you sit and discuss. But you see, men and women of God in general, they are also now going to get advice or get to sort of their matters outside there by unbelievers who do not even understand what we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Already, this is showing that showing how we are, how confused we have become. We don't know exactly what to do whenever there is a problem. Now, when you talk about violence around, you see, the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, that in the latter days, what will happen, there will be times will be very difficult. And Paul was speaking to Timothy by telling him that things will be so difficult and times will be very dangerous. Mm. And great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days will be hard to bear. People will be lovers of self, and people will not love. I mean, they'll be self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, and rebellious. People will be disobedient to the parent, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. You mentioned things like children actually not considering any more boundaries. A child who can give, I mean, some, I would call some advance or sex advance to a teacher, to his teacher already. It's showing how perverse, I mean, the community, how perverse, I mean, the society has become. You see a child who beating, I mean, his grandmother. You see how we've lost respect. There's no respect whatsoever. You look around, you see how nobody's respecting anyone. People do their own things. Mm. And we ask ourselves a question, where are we going with this? What do we do exactly? While everything is going wrong, on the other end, they are trying to make animals, or not animals, but they're trying to make machines to work on behalf of man. That means they're trying to suppress man. And as we say, days will be difficult. When you suppress man, it means that man won't have any more jobs. Men will be in trouble. You mentioned about the banks wanting to decide on whatever they do with your bank account. You know, recently I've had an instance whereby because I did not give the papers or with this thing of FICA, I did not give the papers on time. Mm. My bank was frozen and with money inside. And I had to go and fight for it. Say, why did you do that? Well, It was not really my fault. You people, you sent me a message, and I replied to yourself. I asked you, what document do you need? You did not respond to me, but all of a sudden, you closed my bank account. Mm. And when I went to them, I gave them the papers they needed, and then they had to reopen my bank account, and because everything was frozen, even my card, I could not use my card. I mean, when you go to the ATM, it tells you this card is not, connected to any bank account. Mm. It tells you that. Then you say, okay, what is really going on? And this is to tell you that when things are going wrong in a way, when things are not anymore, we don't have control anymore. Because what is happening today is men, as we are, we're supposed to be in control of time. Because time has been given to us, we may manage it. But we've reached a time where by time, we cannot even control time. We cannot manage time anymore. It means that now we become like slaves. Somebody somewhere is deciding on what to do about you. I mean, you don't have a control. Wherever you go, someone will call you at any given time. You're surprised, people know your address without you giving them your address. Mm. It means they wanted to make things easier according to them, but not easier. We are not secure anymore. It means that they can knock at your door. Anytime people can come to your house because of whatever they think that is right. You know, violence is growing in that way. And what do we do? Do we sit, keep quiet and watch, or do we do something? Now, as I was speaking to the gentleman, I said, you know what? If we have to talk about people or putting people in a picture by stating that these are the ones who will usher this and that, we might be wrong. Why? Because we've been in a place whereby we've named some people, stating that these will be the Antichrist and whatever, but they've never been the Antichrist, and they've died, they're gone, and we're still living. Now, why are we labeling people? Well, the Bible is so clear that when you see all these events taking place, when you see people becoming rebellious, what has to be done on our side is let's continue to preach the gospel. We need to present the peace that comes from the Father. Yeah. We need to continue presenting the love that comes from the Father. You mentioned something like that, Muruti, by stating that when you see people fighting, why don't you just go to them and say, fighting is not good. Mm. Stop fighting. Mm. But what do we do today? When you see people fighting, you take a video. Mm. You see how people have become, we've lost it. We see people are killing each other. We're taking videos. Mm. We take the video and we send it everywhere. Now today, we saw when 14 people died in Congo for South Africa. When 14 people died in Congo, what happened is we saw people really becoming, enraged, and people speaking. Even today, when you go to the TikTok, you'll find people have made, what you call a platform whereby they're talking about why this happened. You know, 14 people died, and it made really become, something big or something great. But at the same time, where the 14 people died, the UN brought, a report of 3,000, civilians who died during this week. Of a war that was not supposed to be there. Because some people decide, it does not really matter where the war is coming from, but when a human being just waking up in the morning, go ask somewhere, they go and kill other human beings, it shows how we have lost it. Mm. It shows how we have become animals instead of being human. Because when you kill someone, you ask yourself a question. Can you also support, can you sustain that if they can come and kill your old members of your family? Can you stand that? Will you be happy? If you can go to the prison whereby people are defenseless, you get in there, you kill all of them, you burn them, literally. You see people, and when you talk about a city whereby in town 3,000 people have died, and up to yesterday they were still collecting bodies. Hmm. Guess what will happen? There'll be a smell, there'll be something. This showing that people, we've reached a place, we've reached a time whereby because of the suffering, because when you look at whatever is going on, there'll be somewhere there money involved. We are suffering. We need to get money. We are a country that maybe do not have many resources, but the others, they've got many resources. What do we do? Let's invade them. Let's go and take what they have. Yeah. But while you're doing that, in the process, how many people are dying in the process? How many people are you killing? And it shows that after you've done all this, you're going to have what you call, you're going to have what you call, sources, but on what price? Now, today, when you sit, you know, it's only today that when you start checking around, we're talking on the phone now. We're talking on the phone. We have, tablets. We have cell phones. We have, computers. We have, airplanes. We have, cars. It's only today that when you sit at one, you start asking questions. Where are these things? How do they make all these things? The batteries, all this. Then you picked up, found out that all these batteries are done with the minerals that are taken somewhere. Mm. Then you ask yourself a question, wherever they're taking the minerals, what is happening in that country? Are they really, is it a richest country in the world in terms of, they must be richest in terms of resources, but what do they have physically when you go there? What do you see? You get to that country, you cry. No, the country is nowhere to be. It's not even on a map. Stating that it's the richest country, but whatever that we is making other people rich is being taken from that place, and people don't care. Children must die in the process. No worry. You know, I've seen people, I've seen violence, and then only last week I saw a picture. I've seen that before in other instances, but last week I saw a young girl. If I can tell the age, she could be 10 years of age. She's running, carrying a young brother or young daughter. She was carrying a young brother or daughter on the back, running, and ask myself a question: what is going to happen? This is not a movie. This is a reality. She's running for a dear life, and I'm asking myself a question: here she could fall, anything could happen, and then she will die, and everyone will be looking at, oh, she's gone. Look at how we have become as human. When somebody is on the floor, we say, oh, sorry, oh, he has died. It's like as if life is not any more important. And violence comes in that way. Mm-hmm. Because of what? Because of time is very bad. And because time is bad, we are not supposed to be looking at what is happening, but supposed to be doing something while we are watching. Because what happened today is people watch and say they feel sorry about what is happening, but doing nothing. That's what Christians are doing nowadays. The sons of Issachar, they will give instruction to the Israelites on what to do. Mm. But as today, we have too many prophets. They only wait for when the event happened. That's it. I prophesied. But when you prophesied, what did you say? What did you tell us that you're supposed to do in order to prevent this? Or in order to do something so that at the end of the day, although people might die, but we've done something. You know, it should be a joy when people are dying, but they're dying in Christ. It should be a joy. But if we don't know what to do when suffering, when things are happening, then why are we prophet? Why are we standing in the name of the Father, stating that the Father has spoken or the Holy Spirit has spoken to me? I got this from the Messiah. Where did you get it? So they may come and let people know. And this is the thing. I think this is the moment where Christians, if we have to multiply crusade, you know, because nowadays we don't have crusade anymore. If we have to have crusade, time to preach the gospel, going in an open place, speak about Jesus. Speak to everyone about the Messiah that is about to come. It is spoken in the Bible. We see some signs that will show that the return of the Messiah is just around the corner. But what does the Bible say? When you see that you don't fold your hand, you preach the gospel. Today, what we do, we don't preach the gospel. Instead, we take pictures. Instead, we film it. We do whatever we can do with it. For what for? And this is something, it's showing how violence has gotten to our head in such a way that we do not care anymore.
I hear you quite well. Send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. Let's hear what you say. With violence taking place every day at schools, houses, even in the churches themselves, what should be our stance against violence in all its forms as the church, as the body of believers? Give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. Drop us also a voice note there. Let's hear what you say.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Masim tumise hoko ngecawe ngo 5 o'clock ekuseni no ayanda nenem. Siyathandaza, siyadumisa, sitya ilizwi nobungqina kuKristu. Let's praise him
ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.